Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, how should Muslims respond to airport body scanners?
Last year, the UK government introduced full body scanners that are now in use at all major airports, including Heathrow and Manchester. The rapid introduction of these scanners has caused fury amongst child protection and privacy campaigners and has particularly distressed the British Muslim population, which is now subject to forced electronic strip searching during travel, regardless of religious affiliation. Apart from moral and legal grounds, full body scanners at airports could also increase the risk of skin cancer, experts warn. Scientists now believe that the radiation from the scanners has been underestimated and could be particularly risky for children. The UK government has argued that these scanners have been put in place as a necessary terrorism prevention measure. In today's Islam and Life, we'll be asking the question, how should Muslims respond to these body scanners, and should they agree to this new anti-terrorism measure?
Yes, indeed, the right question is all these anti-terrorist measures that we have in the UK, but throughout the world, is exactly the same, and even sometimes worse in the United States of America. Everywhere in the West, we speak about terrorism and security, and we are facing new measures, and they are dealing with our privacy, and especially targeting the Muslims. So there is something which has to do with discrimination. And then what we had as a final proposal and enforcement is really this full body scanners, and we know how much is problematic from an ethical viewpoint, from an Islamic viewpoint, and this is what the Muslims are facing now in the name of security, in the name of violent extremism and security. So these are critical questions that we have to ask. First, how do we deal with this, you know, atmosphere where everything is about terrorism, radicalization, and security? And then also when we have such means that are used now to check everything and to monitor the Muslims, what could be the reaction of the Muslims and the way forward? Well, to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Masoon Shajarji, Chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission. So thank you for being with us today. You have been involved in this discussion for a long time and following what was happening in the UK, because over the last 10 years, the situation has changed dramatically in this country. So let us first start with the whole discussion about security. How do you see it? All this business, every time we speak with any government in Europe, in the States, it's all about, you know, Islam, security, radicalization, and terrorists. This is the window or the door through which we are talking about the Muslim presence and Islam today. So, and it put the pressure on anything which is said about Islam. So how do you see it, and how, dealing with human rights, you know, at the grassroots level and within the UK, how do you see this situation today?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this whole association of Islam, security, terrorism, it's there. And unfortunately, it has created the environment where many people are saying, if not every Muslim is a terrorist, but every terrorist is a Muslim.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure you heard that.
Yes, of course.
But that is not the fact. That's not true. I mean, if you look at, for example, within the European context, the surveys that done by Europol, you know, in 2006, there was 589 acts of terrorism, only two committed by Muslim. And indeed, even the last figures showed 300 and odd acts of terrorism, only one of them committed by Muslim. So this whole perception that has been created through politics, media, and the social pressures, it really does not reflect the reality. And the reality is,
It does not reflect the reality, but if it's there, it means that there is an objective.
It is a false reality has been created. Yeah. And actually, you know, then we hear over and over that on one side we've got security, and on the other side we've got liberty, and, you know, there should be a match or balance between these. But the reality is that I believe the more liberty you've got, the more secure you will be. And indeed, we need to deal with criminals as criminals, not as radicalized. You know, we don't talk about, you know, pedophilia as radicalized, you know, pedophilia. You know, we actually talk about people who are criminal. And indeed, if they are If these criminality is seen in any society, and indeed we have in every society, we deal with it with the normal legislations which should be deal with it. What we have end up since 9/11 and 7/7 is a whole lot of legislation which have been knee-jerk reaction, and indeed all of them have been bad policies.
But what would you say to people? Because, you know, once again, very often we are saying, look, this has nothing to do with Islam. These are some of the people are acting like criminals and they have to be treated as such. This is exactly what you are saying. Mm. Still, what we have coming from, you know, analysts, but also people who are coming from a specific, you know, ideological angle and just targeting Islam and saying, look, if you are trying to get a rapist, someone who is involved, you are going to look for men. If you look at the situation now, if you want to find, you know, violent extremists, and this is what we got from the Muslims, you know, even if it's only the headlines and it's a minority, but still they are Muslims. So we are targeting Muslims. So it's normal in, you know, the airports or in, you know, stations everywhere to target these people because mainly proportionally they would be more, this is where we will get more results. So what would be your answer to this? Because this is where, you know, even if you speak about criminals, there is still a proportion that the people are dealing with and saying this is what, this is, these are the people that we have to target.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, as I said earlier on, the facts and figures with Europol actually shows that, you know, majority of terrorists, let's forget about criminals, terrorists, majority in Europe, are not Muslim. You know, we had 2 out of 500 and odd, and then 1 out of 300. That is not really, you know, that actually shows that Muslims are actually more law-abiding than the rest, even when it comes to the issue of terrorism. But also there is another issue down here. It's the reality is that for me and you, we are more likely to go to hospital for cure and die of superbug than dying of acts of terrorism. Yeah. Why we are not putting millions into cleaning up our hospitals? Why is it that we are not sort of doing anything on something like that, which indeed is much easier to deal with than issue of, you know, going into the mosque, knocking at every madrasas, and, you know, saying there must be a terrorist hiding here. I mean, I go to many mosques, and indeed, I'm sure many of your viewers do. I haven't seen anybody sitting down cooking, you know, sort of explosive anywhere. And indeed, even if you look at 9/11, you know, those who actually were trained in Afghanistan, they weren't trained and financed by mosques or Muslim organizations. They were trained by US and Britain.
From the beginning,
indeed, up in Scotland, there were been training grounds for them. Indeed, they were taught how to actually fly a military plane, tanks, etc. No mosque has got that sort of expertise or indeed the finances for that sort of thing. So why is it suddenly everybody got amnesia? Forget about all that they've done in Afghanistan, even within the context of Al-Qaeda, and blaming ordinary mosques, which had no role to play in this.
I think that this discussion, it's important, is to start when we speak about, you know, full body scanners and say this is wrong. In fact, we need to get the big picture and say, look, from the very beginning, there is something wrong in your assessment of the situation first, as to who are the people involved, what is the role of the mosques. This is where we have to start the discussion, because the means that you are using are just coming out of the wrong assessment of the whole picture.
And how do we define terrorist? I mean, this is something has never been really defined.
There is no official definition. That's true.
And you know, without that, how can you fight, unleash a war on terror when it hasn't been defined? But I also believe that, you know, I was saying about the legislation. I mean, look at the stop and search, which, you know, under Section 44, which was, you know, anyone could be stopped for no reason whatsoever under terrorism. And, you know, how could you stop someone for no reason? I mean, you know, it just mind-boggling, you know. How would you do that? You're not doing it randomly, because it's not random, so you've got to have a reason. And what this reason will kick in is prejudices, reading the papers, Sun, etc. And it becomes counterproductive. And we had the situation that thousands and thousands of people being stopped every year. Not a single terrorist was found ever. And every act of stop and search was cost £17. So billions we were spending, so alienating the very youth, Muslim youth, that the government says that want to bring on board, And then on the other side, we're spending money on de-radicalization.
It's also a way. It's crazy. Yes, it's also a way to put some pressure and to carry on this atmosphere that, you know, there is a problem here and we have to put, even if we put money, it's the political interests. It's important in the light of the economic investment that we are. There is something which is beyond the whole, you know, calculation. Because yes. If we look at facts, you are completely right. Now, what we heard is just this full body scanners that we have now. And you were involved by saying to the government that's not the right way to go forward. How the Muslims should, you know, not only the Muslims, in fact, any citizen. That how should we react to something which is putting us in a situation where it's just unbelievable the risks that are taken, but at the same time the morality of the whole thing. Can we go as far as this in the name of security?
No, but I mean this is probably the worst of them all. You know, because what happened, if you remember, over a year and a half ago, not last Christmas, the Christmas before, there was this case of someone carrying bombs within their underpants and so forth. And that was the excuse which was used, that we need to bring these machines. Yeah. These machines are very expensive. They're, you know, hundreds of thousands each. And, you know, you multiply that on every port and airport, you see how much millions and billions have to be spent. But even those manufacturers said that these particular machines would not have identified that particular incident. Mm. So from that point of view, it was totally unacceptable. But also, you know, let me give you some idea what the process is. Mm. The process is random. You know, they say so-called random. Yes. I mean, I
it
know
happened
someone,
to me every time. Random,
well, exactly.
I'm always chosen.
Absolutely.
The name all, Ramadan.
We're all called Mr. Random, and so we're all... but, you know, randomly, it doesn't make any sense. If, I mean, like those metal detectors that we all go through at ports and airports, every single person goes through it. And that makes some sort of security sense, because you're creating a secure area. Hmm. And everyone has to go through that process. This is so-called random. Hmm. And what actually happens is that you get invited to go through these machines. If you refuse to go through it, then you cannot fly. Then you're sent back. In United States, you get pat down and you go through. But in Britain,
there is a difference.
There is a difference.
I was asked in the U.S. if I can go on this. Or I had to. Yeah. I had the choice.
You have a choice. Here, you don't.
I didn't know
and,
that.
And before we come to that, these scanners are only used in United States, Britain, one or two other countries. So what happens if me and you take a flight to China or Paris or anywhere, on the way down there we get the scan, but coming back on the same plane, on the same return flight, we could be carrying whatever we want and blow up everyone. You know, same plane, same sort of crew, etc. So this is actually, it's almost it's so naive that either those who come up with this policy are stupid or dating a terrorist.
But
or
what I heard that they want to do is to expand this. It's just to have it everywhere.
Well, the European Union has said is unacceptable, is against human rights, and so they're not going to do
but
it.
They are really
and
doing
indeed, it. Is not going to be taken up by the rest of the world. And until it's done, it makes no sense. Mm. I mean, you can't sort of start something like this just hoping everybody else will pick up on it. That's one thing. The second thing is that, let's assume that I'm a terrorist and I go into Heathrow and I go through. I've been asked, would you go through this scanner? I said, of course not. I don't want to go to. I said, go home. So I go home with my bomb on my belt or wherever. And then 2 weeks later, if indeed it is random, I'll catch another flight. And hopefully that time I will not be asked and I will go and you know, do my evil deed.
Mm.
The fact of the matter is to actually say that someone who could possibly be a terrorist, that you go through this machine or you go home, it makes a mockery of the whole system. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Okay.
And then also there is another point. You know, you've gone through these airport securities, that you go through the arch, metal arch. People who are serving that, I mean, if they weren't working there, they would be probably working at Sainsbury's or Tesco. Mm. They're not experts by any means. They're not police officers. Mm. They're not specialists. They have got no real training. And these are the guys who actually make decision that either you have to go through this machine or you have to go home and abort whole of your flight, etc.
So mainly what you are saying is that the whole process is, you know, at least questionable as to the efficiency and what is happening. Now, what we have is Muslims saying, look, as we were saying, we were chosen, you know, randomly every time we go. So it's the random factor is quite questionable as well. But what should be the position of the Muslims as citizens, for example, as British citizens or American citizens? What could be the room for maneuver here? What would you suggest them to do?
Well, American citizens, i.e. those who are traveling in the United States, have got a choice. We in this country haven't got a choice. Yeah. And also, you know, as I said, you know, when you don't give that choice, then it becomes completely irrelevant because you're giving a terrorist option to go home and try it again another day. So what we really need to do, we actually need to hold our government to account and say, look, this is mockery of security. It makes no security sense whatsoever. You know, no one could stretch their imagination to think this specific process is going to make any of us secure. So why are we doing it? And you know,
By the way, it's a good question. Why?
Well,
why do you think that we are doing it?
When you talk to those who have gone through this process, all of them, Muslim and non-Muslim, have said it's degrading. It's degrading, and you know, especially when you are sort of saying, look, I don't want to go through this. Why don't you do this? They say, you're in this country. You have to do as we talk.
Basically, authority and power.
Morality is forced upon you.
Yes.
You know, what has been said, you know, electronic strip searching. You're going to be electronically strip searched because this is this morality, and this morality does not recognize your morality. Hmm. And you know, even people like Chair of Liberty, Chakrabarti, she actually was forced through that. She wrote an article in Guardian, and she was saying that she felt physically and emotionally abused through this process.
Yeah. Hmm.
So indeed, many Muslim and non-Muslim with a standard of morality, which is stripping, it becomes unacceptable.
Yes.
Actually find it very difficult. And I think it's almost, I mean, I can't see any other reason except creating an environment and saying you actually have to be stripped for the pleasure of the rest of us. Mm. You know, and it's totally unacceptable.
So from you have your organization, you are trying, you know, suing the government or at least asking for clarification from a civil viewpoint, so from, you know, the citizens' viewpoint. What can be done? Is there a way to resist this trend? Because we start with this, and before we thought that it was going to be, you know, enough with even targeting some Muslims and saying you are, you know, to be searched and monitored. That's fine. But now we have this kind of, you know, full body scanners. Where is it going to end?
You see, I actually have to explain that when this came in, I mean, now it's almost a year and a half, this process has brought in gradually. We complained at the time it was Labour government, and indeed, you know, what makes it ridiculous, the minister, junior minister in charge of it, was Sadiq Khan, a Muslim who was the ex-chair of Liberty, actually brought this process in. We complained at the time, we campaigned. Then when the change of government came, we actually pleaded with the government, saying that we delay our legal process, our judicial
review. Hoping that they will change,
give you an opportunity. Yes. Why do you have to go along with this procedure, which brings no security but also abuses people? And indeed, the minister, I wrote to him, and he wrote back and said, we will extend the time of reviewing this. Please get everybody to write to us. So we got people to write in, and there were hundreds and thousands of people wrote in. But again, the government decided to go ahead with this.
Yeah.
And so now we actually are going ahead with our judicial review. And it seems that is the only option left to us. And I'm afraid that, you know, this judicial review probably needs to go all the way up to the European level, Court of Human Rights, because it makes no security sense whatsoever.
But it would be good for such, you know, resistance, but also promoting the rights of the citizens to make it broader than only Muslims reacting to something which is perceived as targeting them. It should be something which is beyond us, because at the end of the day, it's Europe and the West which is under this, all these security measures and spreading around a sense of fear everywhere.
Yeah, and you know what I think is makes really totally, I mean, disheartening, is the fact that all the experts agree that this is not a silver bullet. This doesn't really stop. So why we are doing it, and why we are actually moving forward? Indeed, we need to force it forward and see if we get the right conclusion.
Thank you. I think that during the discussion, first, the starting point is really to speak about terrorism, to speak about the way, you know, all these discussions that we have in the West and in Europe about terrorism and violent extremism and the way it's tackled is problematic in itself, because the facts and figures are showing that the perceptions are wrong, that, you know, it's not all Muslims, it's broader than that, and the Muslims are, of course, some of them are involved, and we have to deal with the reality of criminals much more than the reality of religious people dealing with terrorism. So to change the perception and to come to facts and figures, this is the starting point. And then also to be able to resist some of the trends that we have, political trends in our countries, where using these security measures and fear to implement, you know, laws and legislations that are problematic, not only for the Muslim citizens, for all of us as, you know, Europeans and Western people, and to sue the government if this is necessary, to go as far as possible, to make it clear that these means are not efficient, first, and second, they are not helping us to live together, they are not helping us to get, in fact, what is the objective, which is security. And security, as you said, quite essentially comes with freedom, not with obsession with terrorism. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Masoud Shajareh. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I hope to see you next week, inshallah.